Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery. Talking to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Buckhead, overlooking the majestic skyline. As the fourth approaches, and we will have the Peachtree Road Race, which is there right in front of my face with about 125,000 of my favorite friends. This is it's a great time of the year, but at the same time, it's a time when there are a lot of people who are going through a great many struggles. So there's a time when it's not quite like Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving when people are alone and don't have families, which is the hardest time that there is for people that are going through some struggles. But it's close because it's a time that is very family-oriented. It's time that's really based on people who are plugged into our society. And there are a lot of people that are plugged into our society, but there are millions who are not. And those are the people, and particularly Christian people who aren't. It really makes for a very, very hard time. That being said, I want to welcome Dr. Robert McGee to the program as we continue with our talk about the search for reality, which you can find, by the way, on www.mcgeepublishing.com. And there's something on there for everybody that's hurting, regardless of what the issue might be. We have resources on there. There's so many things out there for people who are winners. But what we have are resources for people who are in trouble in life and who have been involved in self-defeating behavior, and people, believers, who have monumental impediments to trusting Christ and to being the people that they're called to be. With that said, let me just say good afternoon, Robert. How are you?
I'm fine. I realized I didn't have my little ear things when we got started, so I do now, and I'm ready to go. Okay?
Let's go.
I wanted to talk about, as a basis of launching onto this, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, where we're talking about, it goes like this. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." In other words, Scripture is very realistic. It says, look, obviously, most of the day, we're just conscious of our natural life, right, which it calls the flesh. But it says we don't war according to the flesh. In other words, if you use your natural abilities, your natural life, to try to deal with what you're going through, you're going to lose. Because it says we don't war using the flesh. Because then it goes on and says, "For the weapons of our warfare," and this is news to a lot of people, "are not carnal," which talks about just fleshly, "but mighty in God to the pulling down strongholds." Now, obviously, it's saying here that the weapons that we're going to pull these strongholds down with have to be mighty in God. It cannot be our natural, normal, human power. The problem is that for most people, all they know is their human power. I mean,
well, that's what we do all the time. We live in the natural realm, and we see things, and we think, and we determine what is and what isn't based on our sensory perception. But now I want to ask you, here, this day after tomorrow is the 4th of July.
Correct.
And this is a time where people turn and look to a tribute to our independence, to who we are as a nation, and to what our vision of ourselves is and what our future is. Now, when we're talking about these things and these strongholds, are we talking just about the strongholds in our own lives, or are we also talking about strongholds that would be national things that would be are going against God's way and God's word as a nation, as versus following his will? So are these things just pulling down strongholds? Are they for the micro, or are they also for the macro? You understand what I'm saying, correct?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I believe they're for both. But I don't believe that someone who has not dealt with themselves are going to be much use for the larger strongholds in the country, all right?
Okay. Now, with you saying that, I want to just continue with this just a little bit, because I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that why our book, Search for Reality, is so important is because we need men and women in our nation who are strong to be there for God, for his kingdom, and for what we are doing to reclaim our national heritage. But until they own themselves, they are of little value, and all they can do is put up little things, "I don't like Barack Obama," on Facebook, or, you know, tell people that they're not doing what they should be doing. But they really don't have the strength and power to stand, kind of like the people that would stand in the breach of the wall in Jeremiah's day when it was torn down, that they needed people, you know, to stand there to guard against the onslaught of the enemy. And, you know, I just thought that in getting into this, that we should give people an idea of not just who they are, but also what their responsibility is, not just to break down their strongholds, but to be strong for a greater purpose. All right, go ahead.
Well, yeah, the fact is that the problem in America is not that we've elected some people who, you know, are very poor leaders, et cetera, et cetera. The problem in America is that we have lost our way when it comes to God and to responding to him, because he's the only one that can really deal with it, all right? We can get mad at what's going on. We can do all these different things, but if we don't know God and what he wants us to do, we're just going to be beating our head against the wall. Now, in Corinthians, it talks about that when we pull down the stronghold, we cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep because you're trying to think of things to do, you're fearful, etc., when all the strongholds begin to come out to dance with you, all right, there is no way to deal with those unless you break them down. And The fact of the matter is God spends a lot of time in our life teaching us what we can't do as well as what we can do. And for most people, they never get to the place where they realize what's not possible for them to do, which is really anything important that doesn't involve God. Scripture says that our weapons are mighty in God. Now, that if we don't have God involved in this thing, then we're not going to see anything of any relevance happen. Now, the focus of this is to come against that which is against the knowledge of God. And why is this important? Because thoughts are what hold us captive. And we either capture our thoughts and destroy the strongholds, or they capture us and they hold us until we die. One or the other. They don't get any better with age. And so
that's true.
So my concern is that people will first of all recognize that this is God's territory. This is not our territory. There really is anything that's our territory, but this surely isn't, because there's no way that with our human efforts we're going to be able to deal with something that is spiritual based, which are the strongholds. The strongholds have become alive and have grown in our life because we have agreed with them. Sometimes, for instance, it may be that something happened bad in our life, something that's painful. And all of a sudden, we watch what we think. We start thinking, well, this is the way it's always going to be. God has obviously forgot where I was. There's all kinds of different things which, if we stop a moment, we realize that's not possibly coming from God. And yet, when we simply think of and become, or even if you just observe them and don't do anything about them, that's what we talked about last week, that Eve allowed Satan to tell her things which were untrue. And she didn't come against those things. And when she didn't come against them, they became reality in her life and they controlled her life. And that's what happens here. I mean, all of us have experienced talking to somebody who basically we say, how can someone who knows God say such dumb things as this person is saying? Don't they understand they are contradicting what God has said is true about them? Don't they understand what they're saying is false? Don't they understand what they're saying is destructive? And yet they say it, and they don't seem to recognize any of those things. And once they've said it, I know people who, if they say the same thing more than three or four times, it's like locked in granite in their mind. That's the way it just is. And there's hardly any way of beginning to talk to them about how that what they're saying is just totally unreasonable. So one of the things that happens with strongholds, though, that's very convenient for us, is that if we say things and listen to our mind, if the things we're saying are true, and we listen to our mind, and our mind contradicts what we just got through saying, we can identify the stronghold. And by identifying the stronghold and rejecting it and calling it what it is, which is false, from the devil himself, we can begin to gain victory over that. For instance, I have a list of things that are true. Because of having accepted Christ, I have the righteousness of Christ. Now, some people have a hard time with that one, right? If you say it to yourself and you hear your mind begin to say, no, that's not you, except for the fact that Scripture is very clear that Christ propitiation for our sin was that he gave us, we were justified, and he has applied his righteousness to us and taken our sin from us, and his payment was sufficient. In fact, it was an overpayment in a way, because what he endured to pay for our sin, the Father said was enough, and he said it was finished. So I will tell you that most Christians live their life based on what they've done recently, and if they really messed up, they feel God is not for them. God's probably not listening to them. God's not going to do anything on their behalf. In other words, it's very conditional, their perception of how God deals with them. All these things, and this is probably the most critical thing that we have to understand, all these things are designed by Satan to keep us from coming to God and receiving from him what we require just to live our life. And so,
it's funny. When you're saying that, I was talking to a woman not long ago, and she was she's a believer, and she's a lovely person, really, but very defeated and overwhelmed because of some things that she had done in her life that were morally wrong. And so I asked her, I said, let's just say that God sat down with you for 1 hour and devoted his attention to you exclusively. What amount of time during that hour do you think he would spend thinking about your sinfulness? And she said, almost all of it. And, of course, the answer is none of it, since she is a believer. But the difference is all of these strongholds that she has and the way that she was living her life, which was in self-defeating behavior and low self-worth, low self-esteem, and the inability to just get past and realize that Christ had paid for her sins completely and that they were as far as east as the west, and gone from her, and she just didn't really want to believe that because she wanted to feel guilty, somehow thinking that by feeling guilty, although she was, that by continuing to feel guilty, that it was somehow make her a better person.
Well, sometimes people think if I really wallow in my failures, then I probably won't do them again. Well, real soon, right? And so it's they're in their flesh, they're trying to deal with themselves. And, of course, not only does not work, it makes them much worse. And you are correct. God says, your lawless deeds I will remember no more. And Jesus paid for them. And for people who think that trivializes what Jesus did, you're wrong. It actually celebrates what Jesus did. And the Father, after they've gone to all this trouble to make this plan in eternity, to choose us to be their children, for Jesus Christ to actually undergo the wrath of the Father so that the penalty for our sin, all of our sins, now this was decided really before we were born, right? Long time before we were born, thousands of years before we were born, God chose to do it this way. And then he's communicated that to us. And so for us to reject what he says is truth, means that we have to live the reality of what we believe, and that's just a shame because there's no reason for us to wallow in all of this craziness. But I would tell this woman, you have a choice of either accepting what God says is true, that he's done for you, or live in the pain of the natural pain of having rejected the truth. Now, this happens over and over again when it comes to our accepting what God says he's done on our behalf and his attitude towards it. It's so much more than we can think of that we just don't accept it. So the question, Jack, is how does a person get out of it? Well, they need to know what to declare is true based upon what God has declared to be true. And so you're sitting there, and you have to put yourself in a bind. You have to say, I'm either going to reject what God says is true, or I'm going to accept what God says is true. There's no middle ground here. I can't have a combination of the two. And when you put yourself in that kind of position, then you have a chance at choosing, and it doesn't really matter whether your mind likes it or not. Long and short of it, your mind's just full.
Your mind's just what?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Our minds are so embedded by strongholds. If you wait for your mind to agree with you, you will die waiting for it to agree with you. The fact that you're feeling the way you're feeling, you have the feelings you have, is based on what you believe to be true, not what is true. But the good news is you can get away from that. You can reject it. And if you will reject it based on what Christ has declared to be true, now you're using the power of God. I know a lot of people who have gone and they've said, well, okay, I'm going to start repeating this over and over and over again. So they start repeating something over and over again. We're not talking about acting like a witch, where we have we just say something, and the words that we're saying have some kind of power, and therefore we get released because the words we're saying have some kind of power. That's craziness, right? God has not presented us a system of witchcraft to be able to get out of what we're into. What he's done.
Right, wait a minute. I want to just reiterate that. That is exactly what so many believers do. They are. It's almost like they are in an episode of Harry Potter, or Bewitched, or I Dream of Jeannie, and thinking that that it's almost literally like witchcraft. And they live their lives, in fear of saying something, and then essentially is of saying the truth about what really is happening to themselves and to others, because they don't want to speak it into existence.
Yeah.
And it is kind of a form of witchcraft, and it's nonsense, and it denies reality, which is never God's will. And people do it all the time. And by the way, folks, these principles that we're talking about, this is exactly what the book, The Search for Reality, is all about. And you can just go to our website, www.mcgeepublishing.com. And that's McGee, M-C-G-E-E, .com. And you can find this and resources for alcoholism, sexual abuse, codependency, and whatever ails you. But we've got stuff there and a bunch of it, and it works. At any rate, I wanted to just say that one more time before we continue with this. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, here are just a few of the things that God has declared, that we have the righteousness of Christ, that no matter what I do, my standing before God does not change. My favor for God is based on not what I do, but what Christ has done for me. We have to focus upon Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished for us, not on what we do. I can't do anything bad enough to overcome the payment Christ did. I know some people are sitting around thinking, well, you don't know how bad I've been. What you're saying is, I'm so bad that not even what Christ went through, not what the Father did in order to punish his Son on my behalf was not enough. And, of course, that is not acceptable. I can't do enough, bad enough to overcome what Christ has done. He overpaid the penalty for my sin. He paid the penalty. I want you to think about the worst person that ever has ever lived on the face of the earth. And there's been some really bad ones, right? Even, you know, who have done all horrific things. When Christ was on the cross.
Well, obviously, Hitler and Mao Zedong and people of that nature come to mind. Genghis Khan, for sure. And
well, the Bible declares that Christ's death was sufficient even for them. It's just not efficient for them because they never accepted what Christ did for them. In other words, we aren't better in terms of somehow we've escaped the penalty for our sin. No, Christ actually paid for it. I think a lot of people sit around thinking that God just decides what day it is and decides who he's going to forgive that day. No, he always goes to the cross where all the payment was done. And there's nothing we can do to gain the love of God or lose the love of God, because we aren't there to do that. We're there to accept what Christ did on our behalf. And that's where the person who says, I'm going to go out and do certain things to overcome all the mess I've done in my life, fails to understand that it is what Christ did for us that counts, nothing else. And God is happy with us, period, because of what Christ did. And we experience that if we accept it as truth. And the only way we accept it as truth is to realize that we do have things in our life that are going to try to tell us not truth. And we stand against those things. And as we do, we release the power of God in our life. The one thing we need more than anything else is the divine power of God to free us from the penalty and from the issues surrounding our thoughts related to ourselves when it comes to sin. God actually does want us to live in the reality of what he's done on our behalf.
That's a pretty powerful thing. God wants us to live in the reality of what he has done on our behalf. That is a big deal.
In the coming weeks, we're going to have available some things for people to agree to. It's not, again, it's not witchcraft. But God in his word has given us a whole number of things which he says, this is what I've done for you. This is how much I love you. This is what I care for, how much I care for you. And he does not want us living life all agitated and worried and trying to figure out how we're going to make it to the next day. He wants
us
to come and...
That's very important, and we've run out of time for this show. Next week, folks, we're going to talk about a self-assessment survey that we've prepared for you, so just start thinking about that, and you'll have an opportunity to get it this time next week. Robert, thank you so much, and we're going to be back.
Thank you.
Same bat time, same bat channel next week. And until then, just let me say God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Good night.